Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record Program 367, titled, What's Going On Here? Part 2, subtitled Networking, Part 3, being recorded on July 7th of the year 2002. Among other things, inside one of the program, we were talking about the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization and one of the Third Reich slash fascist emigre elements, or alumni groups, one might say, that were incorporated into that. Among those were the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, about which you'll hear more in just a minute. Note that the former World Anti-Communist League embraced not only the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, but also Islamo-fascist elements such as the World Muslim Congress, headed up by the Grand Mufti and involved, as we saw, with the anti-Soviet Afghan effort of the 1980s. What we're going to look at in this side of the program is something called the Free Congress Foundation, which was involved with helping to break up the Soviet Union, and which also was involved with the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations and Laszlo Pastor, who was involved with the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization. You're going to hear an excerpt of For the Record Program number 166, World War II Redux, the Free Congress Foundation Goes West. This was recorded in the early summer of 1999. We're going to go now to an excerpt from RFA Program 36. This was recorded on March 10, 1991. RFA 36 was entitled The Destabilization of the Soviet Union in Eastern Europe, and in turn, you're going to hear some information about the Free Congress Foundation, this coming from Covert Action Information Bulletin number 35. That publication is now called Covert Action Quarterly. Now, this article is called The Free Congress Foundation Goes East, once again, co-authored by Russ Ballant and Lewis Wolf. It reads in part as follows. With the rapid pace of political change sweeping Eastern Europe and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, many opportunities have emerged for Western interests to intervene in the politics of that region. In some cases, such a vacuum has been created that virtual strangers to the area several years ago are now able to actively participate in changing those societies from within. These interventions are not only being practiced by mainstream organizations. The involvement of the United States far right brings with it the potential revival of fascist organizations in the East. One U.S. group, the Free Congress Foundation, has been playing a role in Eastern European and Soviet politics and has ties to Boris Yeltsin and the Interregional Deputies Group, or IRG, in the USSR. Now, once again, this is the most important single element in this article on the subject of it, the Free Congress Foundation, and we should bear in mind for future discussion that they are tied directly to Boris Yeltsin, as we shall see. Continuing here with Ballant and Wolf's article, the Free Congress Foundation, or FCF, was founded in 1974 by Paul Weyrich, W-E-Y-R-I-C-H, as the Committee for the Survival of a Free Congress. Weyrich, who had started the Heritage Foundation the year before, was heavily funded by the Coors family for both organizations. I would interrupt that Paul Weyrich is one of the major strategic planners and one of the major figures in the so-called New Right. Why I call it so-called, I will outline here later. He is one of the individuals credited with the political action committees and direct mail techniques which helped boost Ronald Reagan and later George Bush into their present situations. Although, as I've looked at in these archive shows, the stage was set for the Reagan and Bush ascendancy by political assassination, not Paul Weyrich. Continuing here, but it should be noted that in addition to the Committee for the Survival of a Free Congress, now the Free Congress Foundation, Weyrich founded the Heritage Foundation, an absolutely pivotal right-wing think tank, which, again, is very close to both the Reagan and Bush administrations. Continuing here, and bear in mind that this organization, as we shall see, is heavily involved in the Soviet Union, specifically with elements around Boris Yeltsin. Continuing with the article, Weyrich has kept one foot in the right wing of the Republican Party while dallying with the racist right and the extreme Christian right. In 1976, for instance, he and a handful of other new rightists, William Rusher, Morton Blackwell, and Richard Viguerie, attempted to take over the Segregationist American Independent Party, or AIP, formed by George Wallace in 1968. The AIP was an amalgam of Ku Klux Klan and John Birch Society elements. In 1982, Weyrich published an essay in which he stated, quote, Culturally destructive government policies, racial hiring quotas, and busing come to mind as examples, are to the new right more immediately important in the realm of action since the damage they can do is enormous and practically irremediable, unquote. This apparent defense of, quote, white culture, unquote, is dangerously close to theories advocated by white supremacists today. FCF's direct involvement in Eastern Europe began about a year ago at the urging of one of its directors, Robert Kriebel, K-R-I-E-B-L-E, a retired Connecticut businessman. His Kriebel Foundation backed efforts in late 1989 to send Wyrick and four associates to Hungary and the Soviet Union, including Estonia, to help train right-wing leaders in ideological and electoral matters. I would interject here, Estonia is now one of the Baltic republics pushing for independence. Wyrick stated upon his return that his visit to Moscow was, quote, the most incredible experience of our lives, unquote. There, he worked with the IRG of the Supreme Soviet, a leadership body of the Communist Party. He says that they were unequivocally in favor of private property, a market economy, and the restoration of religion. The IRG was established by Andrei Sakharov, Boris Yeltsin, and others in the summer of 1989. By the end of that year, a training school had been established for candidates to put forward the IRG program. Their electoral success this year propelled Yeltsin to the leadership of the Russian Soviet Socialist Republic. He immediately began forging collaborative relationships with the deeply reactionary leaders of the Lithuanian Sąjūdis Party. The IRG has also served as a source of right-wing pressure on Gorbachev to dismantle socialism and the Soviet Union itself. And we're going to hear another excerpt of For the Record 166 and, in turn, RFA 36. This further develops the links between the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations and the Third Reich and also the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization. One of the key elements there is Laszlo Pastor. One of the key dangers in this agenda is the political vacuum it creates, allowing ultra-nationalist forces in a number of republics to increase their influence and possibly take power. Now, by the way, I should read the last couple of sentences again. The IRG has also served as a source of right-wing pressure on Gorbachev to dismantle socialism and the Soviet Union itself. One of the key dangers in this agenda is the political vacuum it creates, allowing ultra-nationalist forces in a number of republics to increase their influence and possibly take power. Such nationalist and fascist elements are already evident in Lithuania and the Ukraine. In the latter republic, the pro-Nazi Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, or OUN, has gained influence in several parties and has mobilized large demonstrations in honor OUN leaders who abetted Hitler's war on the Eastern Front. Similarly, several Sąjūdis deputies served in German-supported military units in 1944, and Sąjūdis has made declarations against ethnic Russians living in Lithuania. According to some reports, Poles have also been denigrated. It should also be noted that radical reformer, quote-unquote, Boris Yeltsin has dallied with Pamyat, P-A-M-Y-A-T, the foremost Russian fascist group to emerge in the last several years. Pamyat's virulent anti-Semitism compares to the crude propaganda of the early German Nazi Party in the 1920s. We will take a look at Pamyat later on in this installment. Continuing. The FCF is not entirely disconnected from the history of the OUN. The treasurer of the FCF board is George Washington University professor Charles Moser, M-O-S-E-R. Moser also serves on the editorial advisory board of the Ukrainian Quarterly, published by the Ukrainian Congress Committee of America, a group dominated by the OUN. The Ukrainian Quarterly has praised military units of the German SS and otherwise justified the OUN alliance with the Third Reich, which reflects the fact that the OUN was politically and militarily allied with Hitler and the Nazi occupation of the Ukraine. The OUN, an international semi-secret cadre organization headquartered in Bavaria, has received financial assistance from the late Franz Josef Strauss, the rightist head of the Bavarian state. Strauss also had a working relationship with Wyrick. Wyrick fed speeches by Strauss attacking Germany's détente with the USSR to U.S. senators who would then insert them into the congressional record. When Strauss came to Washington, Wyrick was the person who helped set up his itinerary. Another indicator of the anti-democratic character of the FCF's foreign policy is its co-sponsorship of Freedom Fighter newsletter. Freedom Fighter, edited by Charles Moser, is published from FCF offices in conjunction with Jack Wheeler's Freedom Research Foundation. It reports on and supports the military operations of RENAMO, R-E-N-A-M-O, in Mozambique, UNITA in Angola, the Nicaraguan Contras, and similar groups in Southeast Asia, Northern Africa, and Afghanistan. Particularly telling is their support of the South African-sponsored RENAMO operation, which even the State Department has denounced for its scorched earth terror and murder of more than 100,000 Mozambicans. Pausing at this point, we should look here again at the affiliation between Charles Moser, described as the treasurer of the FCF board, and the elements grouped around the OUN. In Radio Free America number 1 and Radio Free America shows 14 and 15, we took a look at the OUN, its work with the Third Reich, its work with the Galen Organization, and its work with not only the Central Intelligence Agency when the Galen Group became part of the CIA, but also we took a look at it as a major element in the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, or ABN. We're going to take a look at ABN later on in this particular article. The anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations is an organization, as we shall see, which goes back to 1943, literally a link with the Third Reich, and it is one of the major elements in the World Anti-Communist League, a major vehicle of both a major fount of foreign policy inspiration and a major vehicle for covert action in the Reagan and Bush administrations. We also took a look at OUN-UPA and the ABN in a miscellaneous archive show entitled Nazis and Anti-Semites on the George Bush Campaign that was aired in November of 1988. That also, by the way, based in considerable measure on work done by Russ Ballant, the co-author of this article. And again, the involvement of OUN-UPA, which incidentally is also an organization along with the ABN, which has links going to the assassination of President Kennedy, as we looked at in Radio Free America 15. This is an organization directly connected, or linked, I should say, to Charles Moser, and Moser involved, as we see here, very much with FCF. That, again, from Covert Action Information Bulletin number 35, accessed in RFA Program 36, the destabilization of the Soviet Union in Eastern Europe, and that particular installment was aired on March 10th of 1991. And we're going to take a look at Franz Josef Strauss, who is one of Weyrich's associates, by way of fleshing out our understanding of the Free Congress Foundation. And by the way, we're going to return to an excerpt from that very same RFA broadcast in just a few minutes. A sharp-eyed listener hunted down the following connection for us. This comes from a book I've accessed many times in the past. It's called The Bormann Brotherhood. It's authored by William Stevenson. That's S-T-E-V-E-N-S-O-N. The book was published in hardcover by Harcourt Brace Jovanovich and was copyright 1973. Now, in this book, there's discussion of a top German Nazi leader named Hans Ulrich Rudel, who was a much-decorated Luftwaffe pilot during World War II. He then went on to become one of the main leaders in the German exile or Nazi exile community in Latin America. There's a good account of Rudel's activities in the landmark book The Beast Reawakens by Martin A. Lee, published in hardcover by Little Brown, copyright 1997. And in the book The Bormann Brotherhood, there is a description not only of what Stevenson refers to as the Bormann Brotherhood, that appears to be the Bormann organization that I've alluded to in the past, but in particular the last will and testament of Adolf Hitler, or the last political testament of Adolf Hitler, which was salvaged by Martin Bormann and was used as the basis for renewed Nazi propaganda. And in that propagandistic effort, the aforementioned Hans Ulrich Rudel took this Hitler document that was accessed by Bormann and began distributing it to German youth and preaching the Nazi gospel to German youth. He was active in that capacity alongside of people like Franz Josef Strauss. Reading from the Bormann Brotherhood, we find, Rudel spread the gospel according to Hitler and as interpreted by Udo Valendi, W-A-L-E-N-D-Y. The latter rehashed most of the sophistries put forward by official Nazi propaganda in the 1930s to prove Mein Kampf was not an indictment of the Führer. A young neo-Nazi, he used the political testament that Bormann had waited in the Führer's bunker to get from Hitler, with the idea that after the collapse, the philosophy could be resurrected. Rudel commanded the Volkstreue Youth, or Volkstreue Jugend, which he wedded to other militant youth groups. They were lectured on the thoughts of Adolf Hitler. And then skipping down at just such a meeting, we read, "This was a Brotherhood revival meeting. The group represented the new European youth, the Viking youth, and the Federation of Homeland True Youth. Their aims were described as, quote, national resistance to subjugation, unquote, and restoration of Germanic folk territory, unquote. The boys saluted with Heil Dir, hail to you, and drilled with pellet firing rifles. Their hero for a greater Germany was Franz Josef Strauss, Bavarian head of the Christian Democrats, who has protested in the past that a nation cannot be forever treated like a naughty child." And in that regard was a fellow traveler of Hans Ulrich Rudel, one of the main above-board exponents of the Bormann Brotherhood, which is the name that Stevenson gives to the Bormann organization, and what I have termed the Underground Reich. This by way of gaining some perspective on the Free Congress Foundation and the political milieu of which it is part. We're going to return now to Radio Free America program number 36, The Destabilization of the Soviet Union in Eastern Europe, this installment from March 10th of 1991, and in turn we're reading from the article, or I'm reading from the article, The Free Congress Foundation Goes East, co-authored by Lou Wolf and Russ Ballant. Again, that from Covert Action Information Bulletin number 35. This last section of the article is a very important one. Well, the whole article is very important, and I'm going to analyze it in just a couple of minutes. The person that we're going to be focusing on here is an individual we spoke about in the aforementioned miscellaneous archive show Nazis and Anti-Semites on the George Bush Campaign that aired in September of 1988. This individual is named Laszlo Pastor, Laszlo Pastor, and he is an individual who stems from fascist Hungary. It should be recalled that in addition to Germany, Italy, and Japan, the Axis also involved Bulgaria, Romania, and Hungary. All of those countries were fascist and fought alongside the Third Reich against the Soviet Union and also the United States. Laszlo Pastor goes back. He was a Hungarian fascist. He also was heavily involved with the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, that key and most reactionary element of WACL that I spoke about earlier. Speaking about his connection here to Free Congress Foundation, the inappropriately named Free Congress Foundation. Finally, FCF's, continuing here with Ballant and Wolf's article, finally, FCF's insinuation into the politics of the East must be judged by their selection of Laszlo Pastor to head their Liberation Support Alliance, quote, which seeks to liberate peoples in Central and Eastern European nations, unquote. Pastor's involvement in East European politics began in World War II when he joined the youth organization of the Arrow Cross, the Nazi Party of Hungary. When the Arrow Cross was installed in power by a German commando operation, Pastor was sent to Berlin to help facilitate the liaison between the Arrow Cross and Hitler. Pastor was tried and served 2 years in jail for his Arrow Cross activities after an anti-communist government was elected in Hungary in 1945. He eventually came to the U.S. and established the ethnic arm of the Republican National Committee for Richard Nixon. He brought other Nazi collaborators from the Eastern Front into the GOP. Some were later found to have participated in mass murder during the war. I would interrupt. That is the organization, the Republican Ethnic Heritage Council, that we spoke about in the aforementioned miscellaneous archive show, Nazis and Anti-Semites in the George Bush Campaign. Continuing here with Ballant and Wolf's article. The dormant Arrow Cross has surfaced again in Hungary, where there have been attempts to lift the ban on the Nazi organization. Pastor spent several months in Hungary. When Paul Weyrich later conducted training there, he was provided a list of Pastor's contacts inside the country. Weyrich reports that he conducted training for the recently formed and now governing party, New Democratic Forum. Pastor claims to have assisted some of his friends in Hungary in getting NED funds through his advisory position with NED. Recall that NED is the organization which, through LCRA, Lithuanian Catholic Religious Aid, and the closely allied Lithuanian Information Center, is re-injecting fascist elements into Lithuania under Sejudis. We looked at that in the first installment of this archive series. Continuing with the article, Pastor seems to have assisted some of his friends in Hungary in getting NED funding through his advisory position with NED. In 1989, he spoke at the Heritage Foundation under the sponsorship of the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, or ABN, a multinational umbrella organization of emigre fascists and Nazis founded in alliance with Hitler in 1943. It is led by the OUN. Pastor spoke for the, quote, Hungarian organization, unquote, of ABN, which is the Arrow Cross. And we're going to conclude by way of forming a bridge to a discussion that we're going to engage in the next couple of programs, which is some of the conspiracy theories that have become a factor in and of themselves in the politics surrounding September 11th. One of the things that I noted in For the Record 166 was that the Free Congress Foundation suddenly became preoccupied, or at least concerned, with the Echelon Network and Men with Hill. This at the same time that not only Germany but the European Union was making a lot of noise about Men with Hill and the Echelon Network as well. That's an NSA and British intelligence electronic intelligence operation, noting that for all of its shortcomings, it was essential to U.S. national security. And noting that Germany had precisely the same capability, I think that some of my observations about Free Congress Foundation and Echelon are very interesting in light of September 11th, and also the fact that Germany has been alleging that the Echelon Network provided the U.S. with advance warning on September 11th, much of the planning for which took place inside of Germany in places that were surveilled by German intelligence. A critical article in this regard was carried, an op-ed column, was carried in the San Francisco Examiner of Monday, July 5th of 1999. This is an article by Lisa S. Dean, and it's about the Echelon Network, including Men with Hill, and it's headlined, Big Brother is Listening to You. And this is significant because Lisa Dean is director of the Free Congress Foundation Center for Technology Policy, the Free Congress Foundation, well known to veteran listeners to this program. It is a fascistic organization founded by Paul Weyrich, inextricably linked with the whole Galen ABN milieu that I've spoken about. And we talked about that at considerable length in Radio Free America 36, the destabilization of the Soviet Union in Eastern Europe, a prelude to World War III, unquote. And we're going to reprise a section of that program in the next half-hour segment. This is Dateline Washington, and again, Lisa Dean of the Free Congress Foundation writes as follows. The little game is up. The cat is out of the bag. Or should I say that some Australian politicians are in orbit? You see, many different countries have participated in a spy satellite system. It is known as Echelon, but no one wanted to admit that the system either existed or that they were party to it, much like the blue code of silence, unquote, that has afflicted some police departments who cover for one another when the other commits a crime. Well, now Australians have broken the code of silence by officially admitting to what many of us have known for a long time, that Echelon exists and they are a part of it. It won't be long before other nations, including the United States, are forced to admit their involvement as well. After all, in Congress, Representative Bob Barr, Republican of Georgia, has already managed to get an amendment passed by the House that would force the intelligence community as well as law enforcement to set forth the standards and criteria by which they conduct foreign and domestic surveillance. While that amendment still has to pass the Senate and survive a Clinton veto, the fact that the House of Representatives is questioning our current government surveillance practices is significant. This concern will likely shed light on the very issues that entities such as the National Security Agency want kept in the dark, out of sight from the American people. It will likely force the agency to admit to the existence of Echelon and that the United States is the principal partner in this global surveillance network that is being used to not only spy on American citizens, but on foreign businesses. put together by the National... By the way, note foreign businesses, and note Lisa Dean is with the Free Congress Foundation. It's a fascistic organization which, in my opinion, is part of a Nazi fifth column, literally a fifth column in this country, loyal to what I term the Underground Reich, and it is not an institution which in any size, shape, form, or manner is concerned with democracy or the rights of the American people. It is concerned with fascism, and its track record will speak for itself. We're going to talk about that in the next half hour. But note here that she also, the aforementioned Lisa Dean, is concerned about America, about echelon spying on foreign businesses. That's what the Germans are concerned about. Continuing. Put together by the National Security Agency, the echelon system is said to be a network of satellite dishes here and in friendly nations intended for random interceptions of email, faxes, telex, and telephone communications carried by microwave. Computers and analysts sift through haystacks of messages for needles of information. Information gained from obtaining secrets about foreign competitors is passed on to American business leaders. That has kept many American businesses in the Clinton-Gore camp and has caused them to remain silent on issues they would normally oppose. During the Cold War from 1946 to 1989, many things were done by our government to keep ahead of the Soviets. Most Americans didn't want to know what was going on. They trusted their government to act in their interest. I have no quarrel with that. The Soviets were a serious enemy. Currently, we have no enemy of such stature. We have smaller problems such as Saddam Hussein and Slobodan Milosevic. I would add, with organizations like the Bormann Organization, we have an even deadlier enemy than the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union really was not our enemy. They were trying to protect themselves from us. And most of what we were told about the Soviet Union was BS. It's not to say I hold a brief for their system. It was flawed, but they were not after us at any point. They were never under our beds and are not under their own anymore. Continuing. Perhaps if Echelon were monitoring their communications, it might be of significant benefit to us and our allies. But those of us who love freedom want to know why Echelon is needed to monitor our overseas communications. We want to know when and how it is being used against American citizens and to what extent. We want to know why our government has expanded its surveillance operations to include those whose rights they are supposed to be protecting. We might very well have a significant enemy in the future, and a spy system such as Echelon would play a critical role in its defeat. However, that enemy will be a foreign one. It will not be the people of the United States. So a word to the intelligence community. Stop testing your surveillance technology on the people whose welfare you are supposed to be looking after, and let's get Echelon out in the open to explore just exactly how and for what purpose it continues to function. Those words all sound very fine and nice if one does not understand the heritage of the Free Congress Foundation. On the other side of this tape, in the next half-hour segment, we're going to review a long segment from For the Record, or actually from RFA Program 36, the destabilization of the Soviet Union in Eastern Europe. One of the reasons why I find this column so significant, it indicates to me that the destabilization of the United States that I've spoken about is well underway, and although the words sound nice, when one realizes that the Free Congress Foundation, who the employer of Lisa Dean, who wrote this article, has never at any point been concerned with the civil liberties or democratic rights of the United States or anybody else, their preoccupation with compromising the signals intelligence of the U.S. through the Echelon and Menwith Hill stations takes on a very sinister character indeed. That again from For the Record 166, and in light of not only the fact that September 11th took place, based in part at least in Germany, but the fact that there have been conflicts between German and U.S. intelligence, including charges by Germany, that the Echelon network had picked up discussion of September 11th. Considering that Germany has the same kind of capabilities, that raises interesting questions. More about this, however, in the next For the Record broadcast. This concludes For the Record 367, What's Going On Here, Part 2, Networking, Part 3, being recorded on July 7th of 2002. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.